Need to see God's glory. And if God will show his glory, everything will be all right. I want to do something. I hope you won't mind. Let me say this before I do it. Don't let the devil convince you that you got anything better to be doing right now than what you're doing. There ain't a thing going on in this world outside of this church any more important than what we're doing inside this church. And so I know that sounds like I'm setting you up, but I promise I'm not. I actually came tonight prepared, knowing Brother Caleb was going to share his presentation, and I was excited about it, and I got more than I was expecting, and so I sure did appreciate that. And I'm going to ask my wife to come. I put her on the spot, and so y'all forgive me if she messes up, okay? It's my fault. I don't know if you could tell, Pastor, we were singing that song. I was with you. I was ready for you to preach. When we were singing, "Does Jesus Care?" I don't know, something was just stirring on the inside of me. I sure am glad that I've got a Savior that cares. When the days are long, I'm not even going to try to mess the lyrics all up, right? I'm just glad I know he cares. And as we were getting testimonies, I'm trying to do, Brother Caleb, is practice what you preached last night. Brother Caleb preached to the men last night around the fire about just minding the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit to lead and following the Holy Spirit. And so I really felt like the Spirit wanted me to ask my wife to sing a song. And she said she would do it, but she said, "You better preface it with, I haven't practiced it." And so this hasn't been practiced, but she's going to sing it, and I praise the Lord for it. She's not doing it for us anyway. And she's not performing. It ain't for applause. It's for worship. And our God is worthy of it. And so I'm going to ask Meredith to sing, and then I'm going to come and preach.
I have a Savior, a friend forever, the lover of my soul. Trial, he won't forsake me. I'll never be alone. All I ever need is Jesus. All I want to sing is his name. All my heart belongs to Jesus, and by his grace and mercy, I'm saved. There are no riches that could persuade me or steal away to sing is his name. saved. By his grace and mercy, I'm saved.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Amen. He is really all we need. We may not always realize that. Not may. I'm confident I don't always realize that, but it's always so. He's all we need. And I believe that the sooner we get a hold of that truth, the better off we're going to be. He's all we need. When we've got him, we've got everything. When we don't have him, we don't have anything. And so thank God for Jesus. Amen. I'm going to speak to you tonight. I said this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the life verse of unbelievers. And I said that jokingly, and some of you, actually one person texted me and went home and looked it up. But Matthew chapter number 7, if you've been saved any length of time, and you've witnessed to people or you've talked to people about the Lord, there's probably been an occasion where someone that was not saved may have shared this verse of scripture or something like it with you. Judge not that you be not judged. I love how when they use that verse of scripture, they always quote it King James. Amen. They know the King James version of that verse of scripture, right? But the thing is, they don't know what it means. They have no idea what it means. And sometimes I'm afraid we don't even know what it means. And so hopefully tonight I can shed some light on what I believe Jesus was teaching in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I don't think that I know everything that it means, and I'm just being transparent with you. I don't understand every part of it. I probably spent too much time trying to figure it out and just not taking it at face value for what it says. But I want to share some things with you tonight out of these couple verses of Scripture. And I want to lay some groundwork before I do. Now, I understand this is a controversial topic. Pastor said this morning he was preaching on a controversial topic, and I was thinking, we're going to got two of them today, because I'm going to preach on one tonight. It seems like the whole, Leah actually told me on the way to church, she said, you say that a lot in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's the truth. I mean, Jesus was getting to the heart. And when you get to the heart, it can be a little controversial. And so the Sermon on the Mount, there's a lot of stuff in this message that Jesus preached that would be considered controversial, but it's not controversial at all. It's truth, because Jesus said it. And so we're going to look at that tonight. And before we do, I just want to kind of do a little groundwork, and I want to make a statement that I'm going to repeat more than once, but I want to make this statement, and I want you to understand something. Judging is not condemned in the Scriptures. Is commanded. You say, but Brother David, that verse of scripture says, judge not that you be not judged. Well, you got to take the entire Bible in order to come up with truth to understand sometimes what it's saying. And so I want to try to explain that tonight. But before I do, I don't think I need to convince anyone, but just in case I do, I want to just give you a couple. I could give you many. We could preach a series. I'm serious. I thought about it. I was like, man, I could preach probably weeks on this truth right here alone. There's so many aspects and so many angles at which we could look at this thing of judgment. Brother Caleb set me up perfect this morning in Sunday school. I'm going to mention some things that he said probably at some point in my message tonight. But I do want to say these couple of verses of Scripture. If I only gave you this one, it'd be enough. John chapter 7, verse 24 says this. This is Jesus speaking, okay? This is Jesus speaking. The Bible, Jesus said this in John 7, 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Jesus said judge. There's no way around that. So Jesus cannot mean in Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 1, that we're not to judge. We're going to see what he means here in a moment, I hope. But he's not saying don't judge, because then he would be contradicting himself. And can I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ never contradicts himself, ever. And Jesus said in John 7, 24, that we're to judge righteous judgment. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but their foolishness unto him. He said, because they're spiritual. He says, because they are spiritually discerned. right? And he goes on in verse number 15 and says this, but he that is spiritual, listen, judgeth all things. That's what Paul said. He said, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul said, be followers together of me and mark them that walk so as ye have us and as an example or as an example. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, hey, you need to mark some people. You know what that means? You got to judge them. That's what he's saying. He's saying, mark that person. He says, judge that person. Also, Romans 16, 17, Paul said this, mark them which cause divisions. Sounds like Paul's saying we need to judge some people. If there's someone that comes into the church and they're causing divisions, Paul says you need to mark that person. You know what that means? You need to judge them and mark them. You can't mark them if you don't judge them. The Bible over and over tells us to judge. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians to prove all things. The Bible tells us in another place, I think it's maybe it's James, 1 John, I don't know. He says, it's 1 John chapter 4, I believe, verse number 1. He says, try the spirits whether they are of God. He says, not every spirit's of God, but we're to try the spirits. You know what that means? Judge them. Judge them. And I could go on and on and on with numerous examples from the scriptures. I thought of one that really gets down to what we're talking about, because you say, well, that's all, you know, that's not talking about people. I thought about this. You know what Paul said about Demas? He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Sounds like to me Paul was judging Demas. He said, Demas forsook me. Why? Because he loved this present world. Paul was passing judgment on Demas. So you could go on and on and on in the Bible, and it would tell us that it is okay to judge. It's not condemned. Judging is not condemned. Judging is commanded. That's important that we understand that. And so when these people come and they say, well, the Bible says judge not, lest ye be judged, I think they need to understand. The Bible also, you could probably tell them what Jesus said in John chapter number 7, that we're to judge all things. And they probably should read on a little further in that very verse of scripture that they're quoting, because you don't take very long before Jesus is telling us to judge. You're in Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse number 6. He says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. He's not talking about animals. He's talking about people. He's using these animals as an example, but he's talking about people. He said, lest they trample under their feet and turn again and rend you. You know what Jesus is saying? You got to judge some people. Dogs, hogs, right? You got to judge them. He goes on and he talks about wolves. And in verse number 15, look at it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Sounds like to me Jesus is saying judge them. He's saying they may come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside they're really ravening wolves, and you better beware them. How are you going to beware them unless you judge them? So the Bible does not condemn judging. It actually commands it. It's really foolishness for any of us to even make a statement that we're not to judge. We all judge. Every day. Some of you are judging me right now. Yeah, that's a fact. That's right. Somebody said, that's right, I am, right? No, that's right, you are. You're judging me right now. You're probably thinking in your mind, man, I can't believe that he's going to start preaching at this time of evening. You know what you're doing? Don't judge me. Right? Judge not, lest you be judged, right? Don't judge me, right? We all judge. We make judgments every day, and it's a good thing to do, right? You're going to hire a babysitter to watch your children. You better judge them. You better make sure that they're not dangerous, right? I mean, we need to judge some things. And I could go on and on, but I'm not going to, because by the look on your faces, I think you agree with me. The Bible does not condemn judging. The Bible commands judging. It's very important that we understand that. Jesus says that we should judge. So what is Jesus teaching? I think he is teaching a lot in this section, but primarily I believe that he is continuing to contrast the difference between the religious crowd of that day and the kingdom in which he came to establish. Okay, I'm not going to spend a lot of time going back in our previous messages, but I spend a lot of time trying to connect the dots. There's a lot of commentators that will not connect the dots in Matthew chapter number 7 to what Jesus has previously said. They almost treat Matthew chapter 7 as if it's a proverbial chapter, as if it's like the book of Proverbs where Jesus is just hitting us with some bullet points that have no connection. I don't believe that. I believe the entire sermon is a running thought and it's a running theme. And I've been trying to present that to you, and I'm going to continue to all the way to the end. And I believe that Jesus is still building on what he's already been saying. Jesus had told these people that unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall no manner inherit the kingdom of heaven. He said, you've got to have something better than what they've got. And I'm not going to re-preach it, but we've got to understand it. The Jews in this day had set up a religious system, Judaism, and it was all about the outward. It was all about the audience and the applause of men. We just got done in chapter number 6 where Jesus said, they do it for the applause of man. They do it for the accolades. They do it for the applause. They do it for the awards over and over. And he said, don't you do it for that. Don't you live for this world and this kingdom. Live for the kingdom to come, my kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus has been contrasting the religious crowd of that day and to the kingdom that he's going to establish. And I believe that Jesus has been dismantling the Pharisees piece by piece in this sermon. And you got to understand, most of the people that Jesus were speaking to, the Pharisees were the standard. You've got to understand that. Brother Caleb goes into Papua New Guinea. I don't know what the standard is there, but he mentioned Catholicism. Maybe some of those islands that he goes to, Catholicism is the standard in that island. That's what those people believe. We have many missionaries that go to South America, and they go to places where there's a stronghold of Catholicism or there's a stronghold of Buddhism or whatever religion there is. And what those missionaries have to do is, they have to go in and they have to dismantle that false religion that has been set up. You understand what I'm saying? That's what Jesus is doing. Jesus has come after these silent years. Man, I didn't want to do a lot of establishing here, but I feel that I've got to. Jesus has come after all these silent years from Malachi to Matthew, and Judaism has become the standard in this part of the world, and they're living a works-based religion of Judaism, and Jesus has come and he is dismantling their religious system in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, he's going to do it his entire ministry. This is the beginning of his ministry. This is very early in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. And you know what you're going to find in the Sermon on the Mount? You're going to find these truths throughout the epistles. Throughout the Gospels, over and over and over again. Jesus is re-preaching this same message that he's preaching here. Sometimes he'll preach a piece of it or a part of it, but he's preaching it. And Jesus, what he's doing is he's dismantling that religious system, and he's telling them that he's come to set up a spiritual kingdom. And I believe that's what's happening here in the Sermon on the Mount. And so when you look at it from that angle, you've got to understand that Jesus is still, in chapter number 7, I believe he's still dismantling that religious system to all those people that are standing there, those that are Pharisees and the scribes that are there, those that are his disciples that are there, and those the Christians, right? The critics and the curious, they were all there, but they all knew about Judaism. All knew about this religious system that was in place, and Jesus has come, and he's dismantling it piece by piece. Luke chapter 18, verse number 9, Jesus said this, and the Bible says this, it says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And he gave them that parable of the Pharisee and the publican that went up to the temple to pray, and the one smote his head, his chin upon his breast, and the other lifted his head to heaven, and he said, I'm glad I'm not like him. You remember that story? So that's the crowd that Jesus is speaking about. Those Pharisees that looked at everybody else, they looked their nose down at everyone else. They thought they were better than everyone else. And Jesus is dismantling that thought. And I believe he's also warning his disciples, don't get caught up in it. And can I tell you, we've got to watch against it. Don't get caught up in it. It can happen. I'm afraid in some circles, amongst even our independent Baptists, it is happening. We've had the truth so long that we've gotten so religious That we're not busy doing what God's told us to do, reaching people, that we're just sitting around and we're nitpicking each other. It's happening. Christians just nitpicking each other. And I understand some of you, and thank God that you don't, you're not caught up in it. You know nothing about it. But amongst Bible-believing leaders in our country, even within our own denomination and outside of our denomination, if you get on social media and if you get on the internet, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a bunch of bickering, a bunch of nitpicking, a bunch of judging, a bunch of criticism, a bunch of what Jesus is saying don't do. That's what he's saying. And so we're going to look at tonight three aspects of judging. I'm going to give them to you quickly, I promise you. Number one, I want Jesus talks to us about this, judging critically. Judging critically. I personally believe that this is what's at the heart of what Jesus is teaching. When I say that, I hope you understand what I say. Now, critical judgment is not always a bad thing. If you're going to judge, as I said, someone that's going to babysit or watch your children, you got to be a little critical. Right? But that's not what I'm talking about when I say critically, judging critically. When I say judging critically, I hope you know what I mean. I mean fault finding. I mean nitpicking. I mean you're just looking. You know what Jesus said about those Pharisees? He said they strain at a gnat and they swallow a camel. That's what I'm talking about. Straining at a gnat. You know what it's like to get a gnat in your throat? but swallowing a camel, right? Jesus is saying to these people, don't judge critically. I really believe that here in this message. He's saying, don't judge presumptuously. We could probably put a lot under this umbrella of what it means to judge critically, but I'm going to give you a couple. And I thought of one was presumptuously. You know what that means? That means not having all the facts. Jesus says, don't judge when you don't have all the facts. Now you say, where does he say that, Brother David? I'm going to try to show you here in the verse of Scripture, but some of it you've just got to read between the lines because Jesus already said we're to judge. You with me? If Jesus said we're to judge, then there is a correct judgment. We're going to look at that in a moment, but there's also a critical judgment, and this critical judgment is judging presumptuously. Proverbs 18:13 says this, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. I can't tell you how many times I've been guilty of that. And you know what it is? It's foolish. It's a shame. And if we're not careful as Bible-believing Christians, you know what we'll do? We'll hear something and we'll pass judgment without even knowing all the facts. We'll hear, oh, such and such done this. I heard a story, actually, this week. I listened to a couple messages on this passage of Scripture, and there was this man, he was talking about a story where the preacher had been seen in town with a woman in the passenger seat, and it began to spread through the church, and I mean, it caused such an uproar. It split the church down the middle, and come to find out, it was his sister visiting from out of town. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I do think that preachers, anybody for that matter, but definitely preachers, and we're going to get into that here in a moment as well, I think they ought to be wise. Jesus said, be wise, right? That's why you ought to be careful about who you're with. But can I tell you, I don't have a sister, but if I had a sister, right, and my sister needed a ride to Walmart, I'm going to give her a ride to Walmart. And you know what there is? There's some Christians that if they saw that, that's all they need. Presumptuously. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't judge without all the facts. See, we champion that we live in America where you're innocent until proven guilty until we think we know what's best, or until we are actually, I'll tell you another one that I put under here. It's not just presumptuously. How about this? It's prejudicially. You know what prejudice is? Prejudice is, I looked up the definition of prejudice. I thought that makes sense. Prejudice is making a decision based on a preference. That's what prejudice is. You made a decision based on your preference. There's people in our country that are prejudiced against another race. You know why? Because they've already made a decision about that race of people because of their preference. Not based on what that person is, but upon their preference, they've already made a decision. That's called prejudice. And you know what happens sometimes if we're not careful? Our prejudice will make us judge presumptuously. Oh, they got to be guilty. They got to be guilty. Right? He's a preacher. He's got to be guilty. Right? That's what we do if we're not careful. And so Jesus is saying, hey, don't judge presumptuously. Don't judge prejudicedly. I told you we could preach a series, but I'm not going to. I'm going to hurry. But he said this. I think he's really just at the end of it. He's saying this. Don't judge piously. You say, what does piously mean? The word pious is a religious term. It's basically, don't judge thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. It's all right here in the verses of Scripture. I believe everything that I've just told you is right here in these verses of Scripture that we're looking at. I believe Jesus is saying to these people, he's saying, hey, don't make a judgment before you've got all the facts. Don't make a judgment about things that you don't know. Don't make a judgment based on your preference instead of the facts and the truth. Don't make a judgment piously with your head hung up in the air and looking your nose down at other people thinking you're so much better than they are. And I'm not accusing anyone of this tonight, but I'm telling you, I've been guilty of it. I can only speak for myself. There's been times where I've been guilty of that very thing. I didn't get all the information. I didn't get all the facts. I heard a rumor, some what do they call it? Some juicy gossip. And just immediately, oh, I bet it's true. Why? Because I think it is. Because I'm prejudiced. I've already got my mind made up. And if I'm not careful, I'll be pious. I'll think, well, I'm better than they are, right? And Jesus is saying, don't judge that way. So there's critical, there's judging critically. Then there's judging cautiously. I believe Jesus is telling us to watch out about judging critically, but I also believe Jesus is speaking to us about judging cautiously. Look at verse number 1. He says, judge not that you be not judged. For with, see, he's not saying don't judge. He keeps the thought going. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I can't tell you dogmatically what this is teaching. There's a lot of different opinions about exactly what's being taught here. Some people believe that this is teaching that if you're judgmental to other people, they're going to be judgmental to you. And I think that there's somewhat truth in that. You reap what you sow. The Bible teaches that. But I personally, after studying it out, I personally believe that it has a lot to do with what Brother Caleb preached this morning in Sunday school. How many of you were in Sunday school this morning? Raise your hand. You were in this auditorium in Sunday school. Good. I knew that coming into it, and I sure was glad. I tell you this, I think that there's a hint, and I believe I could show it to you if I had time, but I won't take time tonight. I think there's a hint that Jesus is saying this, judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Brother Caleb presented that perfectly this morning. Not for our salvation, but for our service. Jesus is going to judge us. And I think Jesus is saying here that you better consider that. You better think about the fact that when you go to just judging somebody before you've got all the facts, when you go judging presumptuously or prejudicedly or you go judging piously, Jesus is saying you better be cautious and remember you're going to stand before me one day. And I'm going to judge you. And you better think about how you want me judging you when you're judging other people. And so Jesus is saying to be cautious in our judgment. Galatians 6:1 says this, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He's saying, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one that's fallen, one that's sinned. But when you go, you better consider yourself because you might fall too. Better be cautious. And judgment's coming and we're going to reap what we sow. And I think the Bible teaches this in many places, to whom much is given, much is required. The Bible teaches that. Can I tell you? We are going to have a greater condemnation. A greater judgment. You do understand that, right? We who have been given the truth and know the Bible, we're going to be held to a higher standard. Our God is just. Brother Caleb mentioned that this morning. When we stand before God, there's not going to be a false balance. It's going to be just. And those of us that have been given truth, we're going to be judged by that truth in which we've been given. And some of us have had more truth than others. I'm not talking about salvation now. Now, there may be an aspect to it in salvation, but I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about in service. God's going to judge us according to the truth that we've been given. And I believe the Bible teaches that. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. James chapter 6 verse 1. This is a frightful verse to me. My brethren, be not many masters. Most people say that word master means teacher. They call Jesus master, good master. They were saying to him was teacher. The Bible, James said, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Can I tell you, I'm going to be held to a higher standard than some of you. I believe that. God has called me to preach the gospel, and I've put the Lord has allowed me to be put in the place of master. Now, we don't call us master, we call us pastor, but we're a teacher. We get up and we handle the word of God, and you know what? I'm going to be held in account for what I say out of this Bible. Every time I preach, I've done it tonight, sitting in this parking lot, I say, God, help me to preach correctly. And I mean in my heart, if I'm wrong tonight, I want to be shown. Because it's very important when we stand and teach and preach the word of God to people that we do it correctly. Because we're going to stand in judgment for it. And so Jesus says, when you judge, you better judge cautiously. And then last, he says this, you better judge correctly. Correctly. So he says something about judging critically. Then he says something about judging cautiously. I'm skipping a lot here, okay? We're going to get out here in about 5 minutes. And then he says judging correctly. You say, well, how do I judge then, Brother David? If Jesus said judge, and he said judge, I showed you in John chapter number 7, Jesus said judge. If Jesus said judge, but now he's saying judge not, then how am I to judge? I'll give you three ways, and I'll give them to you real quickly. I won't elaborate on them. Number one, you've got to judge scripturally. Scripturally. Psalm 37:4 says this, for the word of the Lord is right. Did you hear that? The word of the Lord is right. Can I tell you, if the Bible says it, I don't have to apologize for it. See, I'm not judging somebody. This is. If I tell somebody that a homosexual lifestyle is wrong, can I tell you, I'm not judging them. The Word of God has. Now, I need to do it, and I'm going to say another point here in a minute. There needs to be the right spirit in which I do it. But when I judge, I need to judge scripturally. If the Bible says it, I don't have to apologize for it. All I've got to do is say it. And so people say, you don't judge me. No, next time somebody tells me, you shouldn't judge me, I'm going to tell them. I'm serious. By the grace of God, I'm going to tell them as politely as I can. I'm not. God's word is. God's word is. See, if I say adultery's wrong, if our pastor stands up and preaches that someone that is not married is living together, or they're in a relationship in a way that they shouldn't be, and he preaches against that, he's not judging them. The Bible is. You understand what I'm saying? And I could give you so many examples. When we're going to judge, Jesus says judge. And when he says judge, what did he say in John 7:24? He said judge righteous judgment. You know what that is? That's scriptural judgment. Because the word of the Lord is right. It's righteous. The word of the Lord is pure in Psalm 12, verse number 6. It's been purified 7 times, right? God's word is perfect and it's righteous. And we could go on and on with the word of the Lord is perfect, right? It's true. It's righteous altogether. In Psalm 19, it says the word of the Lord it talks about it being true and righteous altogether. Right? And so God's word is right. And so when we judge scripturally, that's okay. That's correct judging. So you don't have to apologize for stating what the Bible says. Okay, I'm trying to help you tonight. Jesus did not say, do not judge. Jesus actually said, do judge. But when you judge, you make sure you don't judge critically, and you make sure you judge cautiously, and you make sure you judge correctly. And correct judgment is scriptural judgment. And then also correct judgment is spiritual judgment. Brother Caleb, I mean, it's like me and him talked before we got here. Last night, if you wasn't here, what Brother Caleb taught on out beside the fire is exactly what I'm talking about. And that's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. I already read it to you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse number 15, he said, because they are spiritually discerned, and he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He says, they that are the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But the spiritual man, he understands some things. Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men understand not judgment. But They that seek the Lord understand all things. Did you catch that? So you say, Brother David, they tell me I shouldn't judge. And in some ways they're right. But can I tell you, I'll tell you what is correct judgment. Correct judgment is scriptural judgment. When we're using the word of God to state our facts, we're not judging someone. God's word is. And then there's also spiritual judgment. That's when a saved person allows the Spirit of God to help them to make the right decision. Brother Caleb laid it out perfect last night. I'm not even going to go through. I bet he gave us 20 verses last night telling us how important it is for the Spirit of God to lead us in the decisions that we make. Even some of the testimonies tonight, there was mention of Brother Brian mentioned the Spirit of God. I believe Sister Lauren mentioned how that God's Spirit had given them peace. And we could go around the room. We all know what it is to understand the peace of God, to be spiritually minded, to be spiritually discerned. And so there is a correct judging, and it is scriptural judging, but it's also spiritual judging. And sometimes we get them mixed up now. We like to use that thing to our advantage. Well, the Spirit led me. Which Spirit is what I want to ask sometimes, right? What Spirit led you? If it's the Spirit of God, can I tell you what it's going to be? Scriptural. Spirit of God's not going to lead you to do anything that's going to go contrary to this book right here. So if you say the Spirit led me, you better have a verse or two to back it up. Principle. You understand what I'm saying? Not the Spirit led me to witness to that person. No, but you could say, you could give some Bible to say, I believe the Spirit of God prompted me to share the gospel with that person. But you're not going to convince me that the Spirit of God told you to leave your wife. That's what I'm trying to say. Spirit of God ain't going to tell you to leave your wife. Okay? That's not Spirit of God. That might be a spirit, but it's not that spirit. You better try that spirit. You better judge that spirit. Right? Try that spirit, because that ain't the Holy Spirit. That's another spirit. So there's correct judgment, scriptural judgment, spiritual judgment. You know what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in the book of John? I didn't write down the verse, but it just came to me. You know what he said? He said when he has come, the Spirit of truth, he'll guide you in all truth. When he comes, the Holy Spirit of promise. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Comforter, and he's going to come, and he's going to show you how to live. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to help you to make judgment, to discern right from wrong. And so there is correct judgment. It's scriptural. It's spiritually. And then last, and I think this is in the text right here, and I think it's other places else, judging correctly is scripturally judging, spiritually judging, and then sensitively. Is that a word? Sensitively? I don't know if it is. It don't sound right when I say it. It sounded right when I wrote it, but it don't sound right when I say it. You ever, you think a word in your head, but then when it comes out your mouth, you're like, I don't even know if that's a real word. That happens to me a lot. I happened at the dinner table. Leah looked at me and she was like, what did he just say? Don't worry about it, right? Sensitively. That's what Jesus is saying here. Look at what he says. And I've skipped all the text here, but I'm done. He said this. He said, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? That's a splinter. That's a shaving of wood. A mote, just a little piece. He says, why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? That's a 2x4. Leah, I said I forgot something. She said, what'd you forget? And I said, don't worry about it. I forgot I had a 2x4 at the house, and I was going to bring it and walk around in here with it. Because sometimes that's what we do. That's what Jesus is using this as an illustration. He's been doing it all throughout the Sermon on the Mount. He's been giving us illustrations. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. You think Jesus really wants you to cut your arm? No. He was giving an illustration to teach the truth. And he done it all through this sermon, and he's doing it right here. He's saying, if you got a 2x4 sticking out of your eye, I was planning on getting Lydia to come up here, and I wish I had a 2x4, but there's probably one out back, but I won't do it because y'all are in a hurry. But I could have got a 2x4, and I could have told my daughter Lydia to come up here and told her, Lydia, I'm going to try to get that speck, that eyelash. You get an eyelash in your eye. I'm going to try to get that speck out of your eye, but with a 2x4 in my eye. You think that's going to go real well? I'll tell you what's probably going to happen. I'm going to hurt her. I'm probably going to smack her upside the head 2 or 3 times with the 2x4. I might even hit my wife. That's usually what happens when we start trying to stick our nose in places that don't belong. While we got a 2x4 sticking out of our eye, and we're trying to get a little bitty splinter out of somebody else's eye, we're going to end up hurting that person, probably 2 or 3 others around them. That's what Jesus is saying.
He's saying if you're going to judge, you need to judge sensitively. I don't know about that. I just say sensitive, right? You need to be careful, right? Because an eye is a very sensitive member. I think it's interesting that Jesus used the eye. Our eyes are very sensitive. I mean, you get an eyelash in your eye and it's in there real good. I don't care how big of a man you are. I mean, that thing's got to come out. I mean, I paint. And I've been scraping paint. I'm getting older and wiser. I start wearing masks. I'm starting to wear knee pads. Now I'm even starting to put on goggles or at least sunglasses when I'm scraping, because when you're scraping paint, man, a little paint chip will fly off and hit you right in the eyeball. And I mean, you feel like somebody's stabbing you. I seen a guy get a shaving of metal stuck in his eye. In the emergency room, took a magnet and pulled it out. Good night. But the eye is sensitive, right? And Jesus says, hey, if you're going to judge somebody, you better do it real softly. You better be real sensitive. I think it goes back to what he said in Galatians chapter number 6, where he said, consider thyself, right? He said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You know what meekness is? Gentle. Jesus says, hey, you're going to restore somebody. You're going to try to get a little splinter out of somebody's eye? You better be careful. You better be sensitive. You better be cautious, because you might hurt them. And before you do that, you better get that beam out of your eye. You don't want no eye doctor with can't see, do you? I mean, wouldn't that be kind of bad? You go to an eye doctor and he can't see? All right, maybe y'all don't feel that way. I mean, if I go to a dentist, I want him to have nice teeth. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? I don't like when my doctor's in bad health. You know, he's overweight telling me I need to lose weight. Right? Come on, man. Yeah, right? So the eye doctor, you don't want the eye doctor rolling up in there with, you know, bifocals so thick and his eyes look 12 times bigger than theirs. I'm just playing. I ought to stop, right? But I'm judging. See, I'm judging that man. I shouldn't be that way. But hey, we all judge. I already said we all judge. If my eye doctor walks in and that man's bumping into stuff, I'm getting concerned. Because I don't want him sticking no utensils near my eye if he can't see, right? And that's what Jesus is saying. You better get that beam out of your eye. And I believe that beam could mean a lot of things in our lives. I think in their lives, that beam may have been that critical spirit that they had. Jesus very well could have been telling those Pharisees that were standing there and his disciples, hey guys, don't you turn into a Pharisee. You better be cautious when you judge. You better be correct when you judge, because if you're not, he's saying you'll be just like they are. You better get that beam out of your eye. What's that beam? That beam may be a critical spirit. I believe that's a beam for some people. They need to get that critical spirit out of their life so they can help somebody else. Some people can't help somebody else because they can't get out of their own way. Because they think they're so much better than everybody else. They couldn't dare get down in the gutter with somebody else. They're too good for that. And that's the way those Pharisees were in that day. They thought they were better than everybody else, always looking their nose down at other people. And Jesus saying to his disciples, hey fellas, don't do that. Judge not, that you be not judged. With measure you judge, it shall be measured unto you. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You can stand to your feet. Thank you for your attention. I mean that. I know we're a little late tonight, but I'm just being honest with you. I ain't sorry for it at all. I'm not. I'm glad to be in church. I'm so glad to hear about what God's doing with Caleb Wilson and his wife Tabitha down there in Papua New Guinea. I mean, I was overflowing sitting up here. I remember when Brother Caleb come here and he was about 22 years old. And we sat with him his first night. My wife and I sat back here. The fellowship building was back in the nursery. And I remember the first night you came here, Brother David didn't tell you. I remember everybody else had on shirts and ties. You had on a polo. And I said, Brother Caleb, that's Brother David's fault. No, I'm just playing. He told the missionaries to come casual. And then we all showed up in shirts and ties. And Caleb Wilson was 22 years old. And I said, Brother Caleb, don't you worry. He said, man, I feel underdressed. I said, don't you worry about that, brother. You are right here. He was a young man. And I remember then thinking, God's going to use that young man. And it's so great to see him come back 6 years later and hear how God's using him. And if Jesus tarries, I can't wait to hear what he does in the next 5 years. I know it's going to be great things. And I'm excited about it. So I'm glad that we got to hear that tonight. And I hope I was a help to somebody tonight. I mean that, because you know what? This world will try to tell you, don't you judge, don't you judge. They didn't get that from the Bible. Now, there is a way we shouldn't judge. And I didn't even touch the hem of the garment tonight, but I hope I gave you some things to think about. We need to be cautious about our judgment. And we need to watch about being critical in our judgment, fault-finding, looking for little splinters in people's eyes, little motes, little things that we can just nitpick about when we got beams sticking out of our own eyes. But there is a correct judging, scriptural, spiritual, and sensitive. I'm going to have the pianist play. You can bow your head and close your eyes and